Dogville Talks, präsentiert von Jeva Live.
Friska Viljor. Das sind die beiden Schweden, Daniel Johansson und Joakim Svenningsson. 2005 haben sie sich in einer Bar in Stockholm getroffen. Der Legende nach haben sie nach einer durchzechten Nacht und geplagt von Liebeskummer die Band gegründet. Ihre ersten Songs sollen mit Hilfe von reichlich Alkohol entstanden sein. Jetzt, 10 Jahre später, sind die beiden Familienväter und für lange Nächte in Bars und Studios bleibt da natürlich nicht mehr so viel Zeit. Und auch das Tourleben will gut geplant sein. Vergangenes Wochenende haben Friska Viljor auf dem Dogville-Festival in Hamburg gespielt. Vor ihrem Auftritt haben sie uns auf der Interviewbühne besucht und Gregor Schenk hat dort mit ihnen gesprochen, unter anderem darüber, wie das Familienleben die Band und auch das Songschreiben beeinflusst.
Having children, becoming fathers, how did that change you as a band? How did that change the process of making music?
We need to be more efficient when in the studio. We can't stay there half the night, or we could, but then we would be singles again. It's harder to make long tours, even if we want to be away for a month, we can't.
Do you sometimes miss the freedom of kind of having less responsibilities back in the days before you had kids?
Who doesn't? Yes. Of course. It's hard not to miss the life that you don't have. Ages ago, when we were single guys just trying to find a girl or something in the streets, you always longed for the relationships. And now, I don't mean that I long for the single life now all the time, but of course you have the, you always miss the other side of life and its possibilities.
So you obviously were friends when you started the band, you obviously are still friends now, but how does friendship change when you work together that much?
Family life changes how much time you have to be social with the friends around you. And that little time you get to spend outside the four walls of your home, we've been spending quite a lot of that in the studio, which makes it natural that we don't hang out that much outside of that. But that goes for all of my... I don't meet anyone except for my family and Joakim at the moment. So
we're not friends anymore, we're colleagues.
Yeah.
Let's talk about songwriting. To sum it up very briefly, the songs on your first record were songs about broken hearts. 10 years later, the songs are about having children. I wonder which kind of song is easier to write, the broken heart song or the I'm having children now
song? I think as long as you write stuff about your present life, I think it's no difference actually.
Yeah. And I mean, that was a crude generalization you made with...
Yeah, but it's true.
The whole album is not about having babies.
No, it's about raising babies.
It's like 3 songs. But yeah, but like Daniel said, it's easier to write about what happens in life. It would be weird to write about broken hearts now when we're actually in good relationships. But you can also like be nostalgic about it and sing about old stuff that happened to you in, back in the day.
Yeah.
And kind of, that's a good idea.
In the end, there's an album of like 10 or 12 songs, but I wonder what's underneath the surface. How many songwriting attempts does it take to write a song that is good enough to make it on a record? Are you very critical with yourself?
This album, we wrote quite a lot of stuff, but that's the first time that ever happened. We usually just write 11 songs, kind of, and then we release that on an album. So we've had a couple of B-sides, but those have ended up as B-sides, so we... been rarely not done anything out of the songs when they're done. But this album was different. We wrote a lot of like blueprints, and then after that we chose 10 each and recorded, we recorded 18 songs, and then out of those we scrapped 6.
So
maybe you have enough stuff left now for a B-side record. Or
no, we're going to release... yeah, maybe it will. We don't know yet what it will be, but we will release something in March, April next year, because then we turn 10 as a record-releasing band, which means we want to celebrate that. And so if we have the time and energy and inspiration, we will do one more album or maybe a B-side album or... yeah, we'll see.
It's pretty new still. The record came out in June, at least for the audience. The songs are pretty new. How much courage does it take for you to perform the new songs in front of a big crowd?
We pushed ourselves as much as it's humanly possible when we went on a duo tour in May.
2 months before the release, so no one knew the songs.
Yes, we just went out and played songs, and then we played, I think, maybe 6 or 7 new songs which no one had heard, and it was just me and Daniel looking like Muppets with guitar and a mandolin, and so that was pretty much the courage we needed. And now it's like
nothing. It's really easy.
Yeah.
Fortunately, your fan base is very familiar with your song lyrics, especially when it comes to songs like Shotgun Sister. Does it still feel special when a big crowd sings these songs with you, even though you're used to it? Because when you're on tour, you play these songs on a daily basis.
No, of course, it's still very special. I mean, every time we go on tour, and I don't know if I'm the only one, but I'm very pessimistic as a person. So I always think that no one will come back to the next tour or the next show. So every time we see that people actually come back, I get super happy. And then when people actually sing along, I'm expecting tomatoes or something, and then people sing along, and that's so much better than Rotten Tomatoes, I guess.
Vielen herzlichen Dank. Thank you, Friska Viljo, for coming
Cheers.
to the
thank you.
Das war Friska Viljo bei den Dogwill Talks, präsentiert von Jeva Live.
Dogwill Talks, präsentiert von Jeva Live.